Good morning, everybody. Welcome as we come to worship today for our All In Sunday. So everybody's together. This is normally a slightly shorter service, a little bit more interactive as we go along as well. So welcome as we come. But we still come with the same purpose, the same vision that we come to worship the God who is alive, who is well, and who is present with us today, right here. We open our hearts, our minds, our very souls before him. And the understanding that he will meet with us, that we might leave this place transformed, renewed, refreshed by him. In fact, Psalm 24 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, ye ancient doors, and the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift him up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He indeed is the King of glory. So will you join us in person or online? We bid you a welcome today as we come to pray. Let's pray. Father God, as we set time aside to gather together as your people, as a community of faith in this place and in this space, we thank you that your presence is with us, that you are not a God who is carved by human hands made of wood or stone to sit on a mantelpiece today. But you are the Lord Almighty, the King of glory, the one who died and rose again for our sins, for our forgiveness, and who carries the hope of the world in us today. As we set time aside to be with you, may we be transformed by your Spirit present amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's reading is from Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
So as I kind of alluded to a little bit earlier, we're still in the middle of this prayer of Jabez, if you like. We've looked at the character of Jabez, who he was. Not a lot said about him, only two verses in the whole of the Bible that speak about him. We saw that many characters throughout the Bible need God to step in. Their stories often find themselves in moments where, unless God steps in, it's very, very difficult. We saw that the God who stepped into their situation is the same God that we've come to worship today, and who will step into our situations. We saw that this prayer of Jabez is more than just daily bread or a cup of water. It's life-changing in the normal, everyday moments of life. That God's bounty can sometimes only be limited by our human comprehension, by how we put God in a box and what we do with him. We saw that his resources are eternal, and we can't limit them. Even though we think we have, we still can't, because he is eternal. The more we give away, the more we receive. The lower we get, the more he raises us up. The weaker we become, the more strength we receive. That is the paradox of the good news of the gospel. That's why Jabez was able to pray, "Enlarge my territory. Give me more opportunities, God," even though we find that a difficult place to be. Last week we saw that God's presence is a very reassuring thing. That Moses had a tenacity and a determination. As he prayed, "Show me your purpose, show me your way, O God, send me your presence and show me your glory," he wasn't going to give up. He knew that God's hand upon him was the most important thing that he could ever have. So just as we continue, let's just pray and seek God in this moment. Father, thank you that you are present with us already. In this space and in this place, may your presence by your Spirit inspire and direct us and lead us into a deeper and more transformative place with you. In your name we pray. Amen. So this week we look at that part of Jabez's prayer, Jabez cried out, "O Lord, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, that your hand be with me." And this week, his little bit of the prayer is, "And keep me from harm, that I may be free from pain." He's already cried out. He's already saw that God would bless him, that God would show him his purposes. He's already prayed for opportunities. He's already prayed for the presence of God. And in one sense, this next part of the prayer is a little moment, I think, where Jabez is almost saying that he can't get a little bit too confident. He's prayed those big, bold things. He's prayed for the big things that God is going to give to him. And so now he needs to really lean in to God and not himself. Jabez realizes that he can still stumble and fall. And that's really what Psalm 23 is about as well. That we all can stumble and fall, and that we need the Lord's staff and rod to hold us up and to carry us through. He knows that without the Lord's help, he could be tempted. And we've already had that conversation, that discussion about temptation today. How temptation can lead us away from God, can lead us into a place of negativity or a place of sin. But also how we can put things in place to help us not go to that place of temptation. Because being tempted is not a sign of weakness. Giving in probably is. So the fact that the potato bag of crisps is sitting in the cupboard and I'm completely tempted with them because they're my favorite crisps is not necessarily the weakness in me. It's the moment that I pop them open and start eating them whenever I know that I shouldn't. I once heard a preacher say that if you're not being tempted as a Christian, it probably means that the devil does not fear you. I'll say it again. If you're not being tempted as a Christian, it probably means the devil does not fear you. In other words, sometimes temptation comes in our lives because the devil wants to rob, kill, steal, and destroy, and draw us away from the closeness that we have to the Lord Jesus. And sometimes as Christians, we begin to drift. Sometimes as believers, we settle and become complacent. And we don't feel as much temptation in our lives, and therefore we think, oh, I'm doing okay. What that preacher was saying was that temptation comes, and it's not the temptation of a potato bag of crisps that he was talking about. It's the temptation that leads us into the deep places of sin, anything we think, say, or do that displeases God, that will draw us away from his presence. That's the danger. And the devil will only tempt us and draw us farther away from God whenever he knows he needs to. It's the old adage that a Bible that's falling apart normally means the person that owns it isn't. It's the old adage that the devil's not afraid of a dusty Bible sitting on a shelf. Because as believers, as a community of faith, as Christians, we are in a battle. That is what the scriptures teach us. We are in a daily battle in the spiritual realms for your soul, for your very being. Whenever we drift into the place and space that relies on us more than on God, we're doomed because we're harmed and we receive pain. And that's exactly, I think, what Jabez was praying. It wasn't keep me from harm so I may be free from pain, because whenever I read it immediately or instantly, you almost think, oh, he doesn't want to be hurt, physically hurt. But the more I've read it and prayed, the more I do believe that actually what he's praying is keep me from harm, the place where I can be drawn away from God. Because whenever I'm in that place, I will be in great pain. I think Jabez understands that unless he solely, wholeheartedly, upwardly looking, focuses on God, he might just slip. Unless he is solely, wholeheartedly, upwardly focused and looking to God, he might just slip. And I know that I can find myself in that place. And so our focus, our solely, wholeheartedly, upwardly focused, looking towards Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, is one of the most important postures that a Christian can have. And in that element of doubt that Jabez had, that if he wasn't solely, wholeheartedly, upwardly looking, focused towards God, he might just slip. And in that little element of doubt where he might just slip, I think it made him cry out, "Keep me from harm." Because he's already prayed that God would bless him, that God would show him his purposes and his ways. He's already prayed that God would enlarge his territory, that God would give him more opportunities. He's already prayed that God's hand would be upon him and with him, that God's presence would flood him. And so now he knows that he is in danger of being tempted away from that place and space. And so he prays, "Keep me from that harm." And isn't that what Psalm 23 is really all about? Isn't that what King David was praying? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters." I know that that image of lying down in a green pasture and leading me beside quiet waters is a little bit alien to us today. Unless you want to go and take a sleeping bag to Duncan's Dam and try lying beside the lake at night. But for David, it wasn't. For King David, the lying on the grass beside the quiet waters was a place of refreshing, of restoration. It was a place where he lay down and he allowed all of those other things that could focus and take away his focus and disturb his peace to disappear, because he wanted to focus on the shepherd. Because it's in those moments that King David knew that the Lord restores his soul. That the Lord would guide him. The Lord would guide him in paths of righteousness. Not for David's sake, but for the Lord's sake. But David knew that even in those darkest moments, even as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, that he needed not fear the evil that would come in those moments. And that's a bigger image than simply natural death, as we often assume it to be. As he walks through the darkest valley, the place where he battles the most, and we know that King David battled mentally with lots of scars, he knew that he could fear no evil because the Lord was with him, that the evil was there. He's not saying that the evil wouldn't be there, but he said he didn't need to fear it because God was with him, that God's rod and staff were comforting him. The shepherd's rod and staff are those moments of protection for the sheep, what fought off the bears and the wolves, but they're also what caught the sheep whenever they were in times of danger and drew them close. As I said earlier, the last verses of this particular psalm, I think sometimes get missed in those first four verses, because we focus on those four verses that we talked about already, and we miss the last two. "You prepare a table before me," David says, "in the presence of my enemies." Just think about that. God is going to give you abundance in the moments that you find it most difficult. Because the Lord's table doesn't lack. It's a banquet. It's an abundance of overflowing. He anoints your head with oil and your cup, it overflows. Because goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because as Jabez prays, keep me from harm, King David is also praying, keep me close because I know the goal at the end. The goal at the end is that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a goal. What a prize. What a reward. And so praying that the Lord would keep you from harm is key to your journey with him. So when we pray, keep me from harm, we are really praying, I can't do this without you, O Lord. Please help me stay strong and focused, lest the devil would tempt me away from you. And so Jabez cried out to the Lord, one who was more honorable than all his brothers. Jabez cried out to the Lord, O Lord, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. And God granted his request. As we pray that prayer over the last 5 weeks and over the next couple of weeks before we conclude this series, may we see the mighty hand of God at work in our lives, in this community of faith, and the community around us. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you are willing to keep us from harm. Thank you that your word teaches us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. If we come near to the Lord, he will come near to us. In our weakness, may we draw ever closer to your presence. In Jesus' name. But as we conclude today, we hear from Ephesians chapter 3. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.